Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Hour two and a Monday. It flew by. Trent Dilfer stopping by. 15 minutes live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. There's so much fun. So there's no World Series game tonight. Tomorrow, the Dodgers are going to MacGyver it and throw a bunch of relievers for an inning or two, and they're going to lose. And then Walker Buehler will pitch in Game 7, their ace, and they'll win the World Series. That's my big baseball prediction. They're really good when they have one of their two aces on the mound. They're a great team. If they have to just kind of make it up and go to the bullpen, and it's a limited team. They are a great bullpen away from being unbelievable, because that they have nothing but sticks, and Mookie Betts was just the juice they needed. The World Series has been great so far. Games have been unbelievable so far.
It's been really fun, and I would love a Game 7.
Yeah. Tonight, Monday Night Football is Rams hosting the Chicago Bears. I like the Rams by about a touchdown. So I think the Rams are a little better than we think, because I think losing to San Francisco, as New England discovered yesterday, Joy mentioned this, we buried San Francisco way too early. I get tired of everybody talking about injuries. Philadelphia's got injuries. They're competitive. San Francisco's got a bunch of injuries. They're playing well. You can't give me Dallas's injuries. Yes, Dak, but you can watch a football team. They either compete or they don't. Very few players in this league are worth more than half a point. Like, you either compete or you don't. You can't blame injuries. All right, here we go. We do it every Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I said New England was the slowest offense in professional football, and they were going to be a 5-11 or a 6-10 team, and that is what they look like now. Listen, we can bang on Cam, and I will later. But they have no speed at tight end or wide receiver. They do not have an elite running back. Their best offensive lineman is a rookie. This is sort of the arrogance of, you know, Belichick takes over the draft in January. I got it from here. They have not drafted an offensive all-pro since Gronk. It's over a decade ago. They are not very good offensively. They are, and they don't know offense very well. Mohamed Sanu, they gave up a second-round pick. It didn't work. N'Keal Harry, it appears to be a bust. So, listen, this was always more Brady than Belichick. We know Bill's good, but this is why I kept saying you can be the smartest coach in the world. You've got to have speed. You've got to have playmakers. You don't think Michael Thomas makes Sean Payton a better coach? You don't think Travis Kelce and Mahomes don't make Andy Reid a better coach? This is the slowest football team in the National Football League. The only team in the NFL that scored less is the Jets. That says it all.
Where Colin was wrong.
Andy Dalton's not almost as good as Dak if you give him the weapons. Listen, the offensive line's in shambles, and Andy can't move. In Cincinnati, when he had two good tackles, he was a pretty good quarterback. They are a mess, and Andy's been a disaster. His passer rating is 58. And Dak's, well, we always knew Dak was better than Dalton, but Dak's ability to move the pocket and avoid pressure and take the hits especially. I like Dak, and it was undervalued. The gap between Dak and Dalton is substantial.
Where Colin was right?
Yes, Tom Brady can still play. What can't Tom Brady do? Lead? Is he still a good leader? Is he efficient? I don't get that his arm's dying. I think he makes all the throws. I never thought he was a great deep ball thrower. I never thought he was an athlete. This idea that Tom Brady can't play, it looks like Tom Brady to me. Now, I do think he was livelier. His arm was livelier first 10, 12 years of his career. And I do believe the last 5, 6 years that he gets tired in November and he loses something off his fastball. And there's certain throws he's not good at. But they're not asking him to make those throws. And if you give him great players, when I'm watching him play, he looks so much like Tom Brady 7 years ago to me. All the critics, I don't get it. He still does one thing brilliantly: lead. And for certain organizations, it's more than just throwing a football. Tampa's had talent for years. They didn't have this: the efficiency, the timeliness, the leadership, the accountability.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had the Steelers at 8-8. They're 6-0. They're not going into the tank. I will say this, top to bottom, it's probably the most well-constructed roster in the NFL. Even running back, where we look at him and think, I like James Conner. When James Conner's healthy, I like James Conner. They do everything well. Tight ends that can block, receivers can catch, a quarterback. In fact, if there's one thing that drives me nuts, it's Big Ben. That's my issue. Some of his throws drive me nuts. He threw up a jump ball yesterday late that was really a bad throw. But top to bottom, they're really good. Kevin Colbert, nobody knows what he looks like outside of Pittsburgh. He's one of the best football personnel guys in the NFL. They've got two good receivers, two capable backs, an excellent offensive line. The Minkah Fitzpatrick trade was money. Their linebackers are unbelievable. I'm sure there's a hole somewhere. I swear to God, sometimes I think the hole is Ben.
Where Colin was right.
Baker Mayfield's going to beat Cincinnati and everybody in Cleveland's going to go crazy. That's what I got this morning. Oh my God, you're just a hater. Can we stop? Baker Mayfield owns the Bengals. Wait, the whole league does. Baker's growth is not about the Bengals. Baker's growth is, how does he look against the Steelers and Ravens? Two games this year? Awful. Once again, people are no longer honest. It is classic. Every time he beats the Bengals, this has happened like five times on this show. Everybody rushes in and tells me how great he is, and I keep saying, do you have to get through the Bengals to get to the playoffs? You got to get through the Steelers and the Ravens to get to the playoffs, and Baker's been terrible. People just aren't honest on Baker. He's not good. I was right. Own it. Take the Bengals out. He's a below-average quarterback. That's just what he is.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was ready to hand Cam Newton a contract extension. I'm going to pull that away for the time being. Now, again, he's not working with much, but mechanics aren't great. Accuracy is terrible. He's acknowledging it. It's just not good. He's really struggling. If you take out the Seattle game, and after that game, I'm like, whoa, we got ourselves something here. Let's be honest. Seattle's defense it's the worst in the league. It's worse than Dallas. You take that game out, he's got one touchdown, six picks. Again, it's accuracy problems, some easy throws, 12 yards away, way behind wide receiver. He's off. This is why there was not much of a market. And I think this morning, I'm not sure there's going to be a market with all these great young quarterbacks coming out of the draft.
Where Colin was right.
I always said Kyler Murray, and this is not a huge, reach. Kyler Murray is Russell Wilson. He's the closest thing we have. Yesterday, their stats are identical. Russell Wilson went 33 of 50. Kyler went 34 of 48. Russell Wilson ran for 84 yards. Kyler ran for 70. Russell threw for 388. Kyler threw for 360. Russell threw three touchdowns. Kyler threw three touchdowns. And by the way, both teams are totally reliant on the quarterback to make great plays. That's why both quarterbacks occasionally have really bad interceptions. But I still contend that Kyler does not get picked, at least early, without Russell Wilson. They're just, how much fun are they to watch? And again, if you ask quarterbacks to throw for 400 yards, you're going to get bad throws. Kyler had a terrible pick. Russell had a terrible pick. That's life if you're asking a guy to throw 48 times.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, I whiffed on Denver. It does not appear Drew Lock and Denver are going to be a challenger to anybody. They're not even interesting now. Listen, they've had injuries, but I don't want to hear about injuries. Everybody's losing players. We had no preseason. We've had more injuries than ever. They are affecting the betting lines. But, Patrick Mahomes barely sweat yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was 15 of 23, and they still scored 43 points. The defense isn't good. I understood the Vic Fangio hire. Everybody in the league was going one way. They went defense, and I think Fangio's a good defensive coach. Drew Lock has struggled. He was 21 of 40 with a couple of picks. Been a little banged up, but they've got talent, but they don't have the right juice leading it.
Where Colin was right.
Everybody wants 8 teams, 16 teams in a college football playoff. Did you watch Alabama this weekend? Did you watch Ohio State? Did you watch Clemson? And Ohio State dropped 52 on Nebraska and didn't even play well in the first half. We don't need 8 teams in a college football playoff. I'm not sure we need 4. I think we need 3. One of them gets a bye. Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama are so much better than everybody else. There isn't a 4th best program. Georgia's good but never wins the big game. Auburn's talented but inconsistent. LSU now is no good. Michigan, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, eye roll. everybody wants to add to the playoff system. And my takeaway is you're watching these games. There's three college programs that don't even look like anybody else. The players don't even look the same. They're just NFL factories. Ohio State played poorly for the first half and won 52-17. For the record, Justin Fields. Oh, man. That guy is... These young quarterbacks. I mean, it is Burrow and Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert. And I'm watching... I mean, we all know Trevor Lawrence is great. Let's just check the box. He'll be great. Justin Fields... He could have easily sat this Big Ten year out. I am so glad he didn't. He has got a great arm. He is throwing missiles all over the field. I don't know who's his quarterback coach. I'll go to a media guide, but man, he looks so much more confident than last year. He looks unbelievable. This sport, man, we're getting like, and then there's a kid at North Dakota State, Trey Lance? We may have three more stars coming out of college football. God, Justin Fields look good. Trent Dilfer's around the corner. Don't go anywhere. 15 years in the NFL, Trent Dilfer.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Last night, the Dodgers battled back to take a 3-2 lead in the World Series. Tomorrow night, they'll look to clinch their first title in 32 years. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
See, it's different. With the Lakers, they were bad for like 6 years. Then an hour later, they won the title. The Dodgers have been unbelievable for 7 years, and they just keep teasing the city of Los Angeles. So there is so much stress among Dodger fans. Like if the Lakers not won the championship, we would have said it's kind of amazing they got to the final. It's different with the Dodgers. They have been, how many years in a row have they won their division? Like seven? They've been unbelievable. Clayton Kershaw now gets out of his prime. So there's so much tension in Los Angeles because you get Mookie Betts and then Kershaw's good in the postseason and now the bullpen's not any good. So you can sense it in Los Angeles. People are very tight with this Dodger team, whereas it felt like the Lakers were actually a gift.
You're totally right. There's an expectation at this point from the Dodgers. Whereas if the Lakers wouldn't have won, people would have been disappointed, and around the country, people would have been harder on them because it's LeBron James. But I think here in LA, they'd have been like, next year.
Yeah.
Not for the Dodgers.
There are going to be a lot of angry people in Los Angeles if they lose because they've been so well run and had so many great players for so many years. Trent Dilfer played in the NFL for a decade and a half, and he's got a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl, and now he's coaching Lipscomb Academy. In Nashville, Tennessee, they had their biggest win as a program ever. I'll get to that in a second. He joins us now live. I want to start with last night because I just love where the league is going. I love Herbert. I love Kyler. We got three kids coming out of college next year. But I worry about this, is I watch Russell Wilson, and I'm like, okay, it's one thing to ask your quarterback to be magical seven times a game. It's another to ask him at the team hotel, are you ready for 4 hours of being the life preserver? And I watch Russell Wilson, and I'm like, Trent, they don't have a pass rush. I wonder if there's going to be a burnout here. Are they asking too much of Russell Wilson?
Well, you're not going to get the most out of him. You're going to, when you ask them to put the Superman cape on that often, and you're right, it should be 7 to 12 times a game, go be the best player in the league, save us from something, but not 37 times a game. And when you put that type of burden on him, you're going to get more careless mistakes. You're going to have worse bounces of the ball. You're going to get him out of his rhythm. I like what Schlereth said earlier. Let him simmer. He doesn't have to cook all the time. Let him simmer most of the game and then let him cook over a heated grill 7 to 12 times a game. They're asking him to do way too much. This defense has to get fixed. It's not a Super Bowl team right now, even though he's the best player in the league and they're explosive offensively. You win championships by having three great phases of football. You can have a lead dog. Your offense can be your lead dog, but those other two phases have to be complementary to it. And right now, this defense doesn't give him a chance to finish the race, and you're going to get more mistakes from a guy that typically doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
So I said when Cliff Kingsbury got hired, I said alma maters never want to fire their own. And Cliff's alma mater fired him, and I'm like, boy, if you can't win at college or alma mater, can he win in the NFL? Well, they've won 7 of 10. He's certainly working with Kyler Murray. I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, the college to the pro thing, Matt Rhule. When you look at Arizona, mirage, or do you buy into it?
Buy into it because he's changed. Cliff Kingsbury calls offense very differently in the NFL than he did in college. Notice last night the jumbo packages, the multiple personnel groupings, the multiple formations, different protection schemes, play action pass. And this is not his air raid that he ran in college. He has grown immensely as an offensive coach. They've adapted to NFL-style football, and they have a magical quarterback, a guy that can make a lot of things go. So I really appreciate the fact that he came in as an expert in the air raid, an expert in throwing the football, an expert in what he had done, and has grown to become an expert in other stuff too. And then that's really the story of the NFL game right now, both offensively and defensively, is it's evolving weekly. And if you're not willing to evolve weekly from an X and O standpoint, you're going to get left behind, and Cliff has done that.
You know, I don't want to nitpick, because so much of what Pittsburgh does, it's such a well-constructed roster. I'm not going to nitpick. But I will say this. I've seen them be talented and good before, but they lost to the details of New England or the details of Peyton. And we know Andy Reid's a detail freak. And I watch them, and boy, they let Philadelphia hang around and Houston hang around. And Tennessee was really cooked at half. It's they're so alpha. They're so aggressive. They're so male. And there's so much to like about them as a football fan. But, man, sometimes when I watch Pittsburgh, why is everybody kind of hang around games they dominate? What do you see?
They haven't been able to really finish off a game with their offensive line and a two-back set or multiple tight ends and just tell you we're going to run the ball and run it down your throat for a while now. And they're not. They're going to let teams hang around as long as they're playing open late in the game. They got to be able to get big and play big and short in the second half of games. They're highly explosive offensively. I think they might be the best team in football or on the list of top three teams in football. However, they're going to run up against a team where they're going to have a – let's say it's a two-point lead with Kansas City with 4.5 left in the go. Do you really want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes? They got to get bigger, better at the end of games and end the game in big packages, telling the other team, hey, here it comes. Here comes Connor. Here comes a back coming downhill on you. We're good enough to tell you what we're going to do and do it.
I don't like firing coaches. I never advocate for it. But I do think you can make mistakes. I think Arizona with Steve Wilks just said, hey, he's a coordinator. We rushed it. It doesn't work. And now nobody, it doesn't define Arizona. That nobody's talking about that. I watch Dallas. When I see Andy Dalton get knocked out, nobody confronts Bostic. One Cowboy comes over. I think, oh, wow, this is irreparable. This is not a team. This is just guys wearing the same color jersey. What do you do in Dallas? How do you not let this year define you?
I think it is going to define them. I think it's an organization that lacks passion right now. If I were to find one word that McCarthy lacks and this team lacks is passion. Who's the fire breather in the organization? It's Dak Prescott. He's the only one, and he's hurt right now. You need fire breathers. Last time I checked, football was really hard. It hurts. It's long. It's lonely. It's not fun all the time. And you guys have a ton of passion, a ton of energy. They breathe fire when they step into the office. They breathe fire on game days. It's who they are. And they elevate the level of everybody else because they have so much passion. I can't think of one Cowboy coach or player that has that type of passion. You go around the league, you look at the teams are winning, and you're immediately going to go, oh, yeah, that's this guy for that team. That's that guy for that team. Can't find one for the Cowboys. What happened yesterday was simply a bunch of guys that lack passion. So when they see an egregious thing happen on the field, they don't have the fire inside their bellies. It's not who they are to then go defend their teammate that's been cheap shot on the ground. I think it starts from the top. I think Mike McCarthy's always been a very academic head coach. He's always been a big thinker. But if you look at the end of his Green Bay years, go back and look at their lack of passion. His last couple of years in Green Bay, it's what we talked about all the time. The team had no fire. Football's not just about Willies and Joes and talent and salaries and big plays and highlights and all that stuff. It's a hard game. It's a hard game at every level, coach and player, auxiliary staff. And you better have people that are gritty and passionate to get you through the tough times. And right now the Cowboys don't have it.
Are you even a little surprised that how it's pretty quick He's had two tough outings, but Brady's development, rookie guys, new guys. Are you surprised at all by how kind of quickly it's synced up?
I'm not, because he's the ultimate fire breather. I mean, Tom Brady elevates. We talked about last week. This is elevate your team. He elevates your entire organization, your entire city. There's nobody like him. And I don't think you can properly articulate the impact he has until he's there in your organization, in your system. He's going to demand excellence every second of every day. And if you don't join him, you're going to be out of there. You're not going to be playing much. And look what he's done to a Bruce Arians, who has forever been a risky head coach. His teams typically have a lot of penalties, a lot of turnovers, no turnovers two straight weeks, no sacks two straight weeks, only four penalties for 20 yards this week, no penalties last week. I mean, he's changed the head coach. Nobody changes a culture like Tom Brady.
Yeah. Finally, we tend to bail on teams a little early. We get a little hot on Monday. I watch the 49ers, and I'm sorry, but – you know, Trent, is if you play that kind of physical football and run the football, it's hard to lose in this league. You're going to lose, but I watch them and I'm like, I'm not so sure if Garoppolo's upright that they can't get to a conference championship. I'm not so sure. Did we bail too quickly on the Niners?
Absolutely. Kyle does as good a job as anybody. They have great culture. I think that starts with John Lynch too. I mean, and Jed York, the owner, he's got great culture in San Francisco. The players love being part of the organization. It's got great history. They do have passionate players. They do have fire breathers in their building. They're not going to flinch when adversity comes their way. And then running the football. It's never going to get old. It's never going to go out of style. It's never going to be anything but great, a great addition to your offense, and they run it as well as anybody.
Finally, you're the coach at Lipscomb Academy, head football coach, Nashville, Tennessee. We're friends. A couple years ago, you said, I want to change people's lives. I've had a great career. I've loved it. I've made money, blah, blah, blah. But I want to change people's lives, and you took over this academy, and it wasn't a very good well, they weren't great. And so you've done well. You've made them very formidable, and Friday was the biggest win in the history of the program probably, and you got a highlight from it.
Yeah, we started the opening. We got the ball, received the ball opening kick, took it 99 yards. Our best player, Alex Broom, who you'll be talking about, he'll play in the ACC or SEC, number 20. You're seeing him run down the sideline with a little high-five action. really was a neat way to start the night. I can't say enough of good things about our community, our football team, our program. The biggest thing I'll say is we have great kids. We have great coaches and great kids. They're going to go change the world. They may not do it in football, but they're going to make this world a better place to live. And that's really how we're using football. It's a human development program. Mass is a high school football team, and they're doing them both really well right now.
Yeah, every coach I know says that. Every coach I know just loves their kids. They really do. You know, so often we're critical of the young generation. I don't know. The young kids I see are a lot smarter than I was. I'll tell you that. My kids are a lot smarter than I was. And what a great story for you and Lipscomb in Nashville, Tennessee, a great city. Good seeing you, bud.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for showing that. Appreciate you.
You bet. Yeah, a couple years ago, Trent said, you know what? Got to change some lives. I want to help some young people, and they've done it. Good for them. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
That's a cute little high five.
As they're running down the hut.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Steelers kept their undefeated season alive, moving to 6-0 for the first time since 1978. They were up by as much as 20 points in the third quarter before Tennessee started to make a comeback. I was like, the Steelers need to put this away.
Yeah.
The Titans are one big play away from spoiling this day in their undefeated season for them. But with 19 seconds left, Gutkowski missed a 45-yard field goal.
Pittsburgh, for the record, deserved a win.
Yes, absolutely.
They outplayed them.
They outplayed them, yes.
Big
but listen,
Ben.
I don't really have a problem with letting Tennessee hang around. Tennessee is a great team. Tennessee should show that they can play from behind and keep this a game.
Yeah, like, but Big Ben's interception, that jump on the end zone.
I mean,
interception
with you're not two minutes and 40 seconds left in the game.
You're not going to beat Kansas City. That was a bonehead throw.
Yeah, you can't do that. I agree with you. But I will say, Tennessee is a great team. So while I didn't love that the Steelers were letting them hang around, I don't know that it was necessarily up to them. Like, the Titans are
they're
a great
legit
team, and they should have been in that. They won 27-4, so they are the last remaining undefeated team in the league. And right now, if the playoffs were happening, they would have the bye. Remember, there's only one bye this year.
Right. NFC has one. AFC has one. The Steelers would have it.
And you know who has the NFC bye?
Who?
The Chicago Bears.
Oh, God.
I mean, obviously, we have a lot of football left to play. But if they beat the Rams tonight, they're going to keep that. They are the number one seed right now in the NFC, the Chicago Bears. I think it's great. Well, so the AFC playoff picture right now is Steelers, Chiefs, Titans, Bills, Ravens, Browns, Colts. Obviously, like I said, there's a lot of football left to play. But yeah, we are starting to see some separation
well,
within the divisions.
What you're seeing is the Pretenders, yes, the Raiders. You know, they're not – they can't stop anybody. You see teams that you get – you can win a bunch of games in September, early October on just offense. At some point, you have to make a stop. Seattle got undressed a little last night. The Raiders last couple of weeks have gotten undressed where, you know, it's just – you got to make stops in this league occasionally.
Well, we're seeing who has the most complete teams. Like, yes, to me, the Steelers and the Chiefs are the best in the AFC.
Yes.
They've clearly separated
Baltimore's
themselves.
Baltimore's not that far off.
No, neither is Tennessee. But, yeah, like, this game this week for the Steelers and Titans was going to decide who's the better team at this point in the season.
Yeah.
They're likely going to play again. It's not the end of the world. It's just one loss. But we are trying to determine who the best teams in the league are. They're both undefeated, and the Steelers won, and they outplayed them. Now, the Chiefs beat the Ravens, and the Steelers play the Ravens next week. So that'll be another way to separate that as well. But the Steelers' upcoming schedule is kind of interesting. So they have the Ravens next week. Then they have the Cowboys. Then they have the Bengals. Then the Jags. And then they play the Ravens again. So the Ravens game is the only, like, really competitive game there. The Steelers could really separate themselves from the rest of the league pretty quickly and the AFC.
I don't know if Baltimore matches up with Tennessee great this year. I'm not sure. I think Tennessee actually... Kansas City and Tennessee match up with Pittsburgh okay. I don't know if Baltimore does up front.
I don't want to sell all my Ravens stock as of yet.
No,
we've kind of not been talking about them a lot.
But there are matchup issues in this league. There are teams that just don't match up well. You know, if you look at the New York Giants right now, the way they play defense, they can play with some high – they matched up with the Rams. You watch that game and you're like, oh, Giants match up with the Rams, okay. They can keep this game
close. The Giants are also – there's like you said, they're kind of the Miami of last year. They're improving every single week. Well, the Chiefs didn't need to rely on Patrick Mahomes to get a win over the Broncos. Every unit for the Chiefs put up points in Denver, and it was the first time this season that a team had a touchdown on offense, defense, and special teams in one game. Along with the pick six, the Chiefs' defense also had a second interception, two forced fumbles, and three sacks on the day. They are now 6-1 this season with this 43-16 win. As you mentioned, the Raiders, the AFC West division, the Chiefs are 6-1. The Raiders are now 3-3.
Yeah.
The Chargers 2-4, and the Broncos 2-4. So the Chiefs are really pulling away in that division as well.
I will say this. Right now, the Raiders lead the Chargers. I feel like the Chargers are a more complete team. I feel like the Raiders have all their talent on one side of the ball, outside their defensive line. Crosby, I like. But the Chargers are they're a fairly decent 2-4 team. They've got a lot of weapons.
I feel like the ceiling is higher for the Chargers.
Yes, so do I.
At this point. So the Chiefs have the Jets next week, then the Panthers, then the Raiders and Bucks. Upcoming schedule is a little more difficult than the Steelers. Finally, Baker Mayfield started yesterday's game against the Bengals terribly, going 0-for-5 with an interception in the first quarter.
Yeah.
But he turned things around for the rest of the game, completing 22 of 23 passes, including a franchise record 21 straight. He also threw for 5 touchdowns, the last one's coming with 11 seconds left to secure the 37-34 Browns win.
With nice protection, a lot of weapons.
You know what? I thought Baker did a good job overcoming that first quarter.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, things could have fallen apart. They also lost Odell. That's an emotional thing to go through mid-game.
That's fair.
I'm with you that it's the Bengals that they beat.
Again. 5-1 against the Bengals.
And this is the bigger story is Joe Burrow. But I did think that this was a nice division win for the Browns in a game that the Bengals were competitive. Joe Burrow, 406 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, 1 interception while being sacked 4 times.
I'm going to tell you something. Cincinnati may end up with 3 wins.
You know, I think we should have a short segment on the show where Joy was right and just only do where Joy was right, not where Joy was wrong.
Yeah.
Because I was super right about Joe Burrow.
He's really good.
He is very good. I like them a lot.
Listen, even in their losses, you watch them and you're like,
all you can ask for. We said it before the season started. Bengals are not going to be competitive. He's going to get hit a lot. The most that you can ask for from Joe Burrow is that every week he gets better.
Oh, yeah. They're. I said, you don't have to win to impress me. Russell Wilson impressed me. Burrow impressed me. You
as
have
long
to win
as you're
to...
realistic. Like, just we put super unrealistic expectations on teams. Like, just because you get Joe Burrow, just because you have Baker Mayfield number one overall, like, just because you get these incredible players, you're picking them at the top of the draft for a reason. Like, you should manage the expectations of what they can do, especially when he's being sacked four times a game.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing all that on top of being hit.
Yeah. Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
DeMarcus Ware, the former All-Pro and former Cowboy. What to do in Dallas? I think it's a situation where you have to make wholesale changes in the coaching staff and go to college like Carolina did and Arizona did and find a progressive, smart offensive coach.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
DeMarcus Ware is going to get a lot of Hall of Fame votes. He played only 12 years in the NFL but made the Pro Bowl 9 times, most sacks in Cowboy franchise history, a 2-time NFL sack leader. To me, he's a Hall of Famer, and he is retired and looks happy and healthy, and he is now joining us live. Second fastest player to ever reach 100 sacks in the NFL. I'm not somebody that says, fire everybody. That's not who I am. I've never been that sportscaster. But I look at Dallas. I see the lack of effort. And I think to myself, listen, smart people make mistakes. You can't cling on to a coaching staff and say, it's going to work. Is it possible Jerry Jones, a smart guy, just made a mistake with his coaching hire, DeMarcus?
You know, that I can see that that's happening, but you know, I go back into like preparation for the season. I see a lot of the guys having lack of confidence, which is equating to lack of effort on the football field. I watched the whole game right at the beginning. I mean, they played well enough to win the game. Then all of a sudden you get, you know, two or three turnovers. You know, you're not blocking on offense. I understand you had a whole bunch of injuries, but the mistakes that keep happening over and over again and guys missing tackles, that equates to coaching and the players being confident in what they're actually doing out there instead of making mistakes.
Yeah.
So it could have been a wrong coaching hire, but I see a lot of lack of effort.
Yeah. It's interesting. Trent Dilfer was on and he said he doesn't see, he calls them fire breathers. He goes, you need a locker room. You need six or seven guys. Like Brady's like
that.
Who's the leader this morning? Dak's hurt. Who's the leader of the Cowboys this morning? Who is it?
I can't even sit right here and tell you who the leader is of the Dallas Cowboys. The first name I would think about is like Leighton Vander Esch, right? Or I would think about Ezekiel Elliott or DeMarcus Lawrence, but none of those guys actually fall into that leadership role when you start thinking about when you're down by 30 points, do you see those guys pushing each other on the sideline, doing what they need to do to keep the team going? So I don't see a lot of leadership, but then it goes back to the coaches, where that all starts at, and if there's even any trust in what they're doing. So hopefully they get everything together and get everything in line.
DeMarcus, when you see leaks from a locker room, and I'm always like, it doesn't matter if it's the White House or a locker room. If you see leaks, what it tells you is people don't trust the person at the top. Were you ever part of a Cowboy team with leaks? And when it happened, if it did you know who did it? Or do you think they're all going like, who's leaking stuff? Or do players know?
You know, the players know who's leaking any information that's out there because somebody is the mole in the locker room all the time. And sometimes you put information out there to see if it will even get out. And once it gets out to some certain media outlet, you know who that person is, and then you start having distrust. And so again, that leak or that mole that's out there has now leaked out some the wrong information. And so there's distrust in the whole locker room, the whole area there. So I just think that trust, respecting each other, lack of effort and wanting to and having the right scheme for the guys that you have, because you got 4-3 personnel, but you're running sort of a 4-3, I'm talking about from a defensive standpoint, a 3-4 defense. The guys aren't two gapping. They're playing, you know, 4-3, getting up the field, trying to funnel the guys to the inside, but they're not two gapping like they should. So you see so many holes on defense where the guys just running straight up the field. You got, you know, guys that's supposed to be in cover two or in zone coverage. They're in a totally different coverage. So it's like, what are you guys actually thinking right now? Where are you getting all this information in from, and why aren't you doing the right plays?
So you just told me during the break, you're like, I'm not playing football again. We were joking. The Seahawks need a pass rusher. Arizona needs a pass rusher. Baltimore could use a pass rusher. You're like, I see those guys getting hit. I got no interest. But are you surprised that Tom Brady at 43, that it's already working? It looks like it's cinched up. He threw it four different guys, caught a touchdown pass. Are you a little surprised that it looks like 7 weeks in, they could be the best team in football?
I'm not surprised, because one thing you said that you want in the locker room is a fire-breathing dragon. You want a captain. And when you start thinking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you think about Brady being that captain. He's that guy that's pushing them to no limit. They are doing everything that they can to win football games for them. And that's what you want in the locker room. And I'm talking about, you know, from a Dallas Cowboys standpoint. But look at, you know, Tom Brady. Those guys are doing everything for him. And they're trying to win the Super Bowl. And their defense is playing lights out.
You know, I was telling Joy, she's from Pittsburgh. I said, the Steelers are obviously well constructed, but I don't trust Big Ben. He just drives me nuts. And I know he's talented. And I know you've faced him before. But he makes some throws, DeMarcus, and this is who he is. Late in games, I don't think he always makes great decisions. When you faced him, was the book on Ben – what was the book on him? Could you force him into mistakes? What did you guys know going into Ben?
I mean, going into the game, we knew that if we get pressure on him, he's going to either, you know, throw an interception, he's going to get the ball off fast, that's going to, you know, create some type of turnover. So a lot of the teams now, knowing that he's not the same Ben where he can move around and make guys miss, so they create a lot of pressure on him. And if that ball is in his hand 2 and 3 seconds, he throws that ball away really, really quick. And just like you said, like in the playoffs, right, you can trust Ben during the season. But when it comes to that big game to where he has to do what he needs to do, the guys start blitzing him, making him make those indecisive decisions. And then he loses the football game.
Yeah. So you said you don't want to play again. This new league we're watching, no preseason. It's all offense. It's crazy town. I'm watching Arizona, Seattle. You know, you got 70 points. You don't want to play, you said. But if you were to do it all over again, would you pick defense? Or do you look at the game now and you think, all the rules are against defense. You can't do anything. Do you like this football, which in the last 3 to 4 years, DeMarcus, is so offensive driven? Does it drive you nuts? Or would you, if you were in high school or junior high again, would you choose offense?
Dude, I love just the way that the game's going. You're not practicing. There's not a lot of offseason. Usually the defensive guys are the ones that get beat up the most, right? But now the teams are passing the ball like 80%. Of the time. And with me being a pass rusher, and I know that left tackle sitting there, I don't care who it is, I can rush the passer 80% of the times. I'm actually going to stay at defensive end, outside linebacker. I'm going to rush the passer. I'm going to have about 20 sacks a year and keep it rolling. So if they keep it this way, I might come back.
Well, you look great. You're in a beautiful studio there. Very happy for you. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame. 12 years, 9 Pro Bowls, 2-time sack leader. We love having you on, man.
Hey, you know what? Thank you for inviting me on. And like I said earlier, anytime you want to chat, you call me. I'll pick up the phone.
All right. DeMarcus Ware, the former Dallas Cowboy, great quality guy. It is when you watch the game today. I watched last night. What does Arizona need? Chandler Jones, a pass rusher. What does Seattle need? A pass rusher. What does Tennessee need? A pass rusher. You know, Pittsburgh's one of the few teams that generates massive pressure. Cleveland also. Myles Garrett is unblockable. So it is interesting. Now, Chicago's got a pass rusher. Obviously, Aaron Donald's unbelievable. But many of these best teams, all of their Achilles heel is the exact same thing.
But most of those teams you mentioned also play in cold weather.
Ask yourself this. You're Seattle, Joy. I said this 2 weeks ago. Call Houston. Get J.J. Watt. I mean, to me, Seattle cannot win the Super Bowl. And by the way, Houston needs cap space because they're paying their left tackle in Deshaun. They need to rebuild anyway.
They are in a rebuild.
Like, to me, I watch Houston and I think, this is not a playoff team. You're not close to Tennessee in your division. You don't have nearly the roster. I think, and by the way, J.J. Watt, I know he loves Houston, but to insert him, Greg Olsen looks really happy in Seattle. I think if you're Seattle or, I mean, I think you have to.
I don't think you're wrong. I just don't think Houston does it.
He's so popular. Yeah. TJ Watt, JJ Watt, what's next? Whatever it is. That family creates pass rushers. Weather's unpredictable. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades. Get them at Walmart. The Herd.